Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We continue our look now at the worldwide refugee crisis and the role of America as we drastically reduce the number of refugees welcomed to our shores. Back in September, WNYC reporter Matt Katz visited a refugee camp in Malawi and saw the crisis through the eyes of a Congolese couple. Here's Matt on our program Monday.
I mean, these people fell in love and dated and got married in the most unimaginably terrible circumstance in the middle of a refugee camp where they don't have indoor plumbing or electricity. And yet they found this magical connection with another person, and now they're not able to experience it in real life.
Andre Twendeli went from that refugee camp in Malawi to Elizabeth, New Jersey. He hasn't seen his wife, Lizette Lukoji, in over a year because she remains in that camp. And while their love story might be rare, their situation, fleeing political persecution only to be frustrated by a stagnating American refugee system, it's increasingly common.
In terms of being separated from a loved one, I mean, that is the story of refugees. And in the time I spent in the refugee camp, I met plenty of people who had relatives who had been able to make it to the U.S. through the refugee program. And now that's complicated because of changes in refugee policy by the Trump administration.
Well, coming to the United States as a refugee is extraordinarily difficult to begin with. But the basis of your story, as you said, is that it's becoming much more difficult now after the first year of the Trump administration. Describe some of the mechanics, some of the policies here, why it's so much harder.
There's big and small changes that have been made. The biggest is in the cap on the number of refugees. In 1980, Congress passed the Refugee Act. That allowed the president to set a number for how many refugees would be admitted every year. And it's fluctuated between 50,000 and about 100,000 every year through Reagan, Bush, Clinton, both parties. President Trump lowered that. Even though we have a cap of 45,000 for the year in terms of refugees being admitted into the country, we're on pace to admit far fewer than that, less than 20,000. And one reason we think is because refugee officers, these are people that fly to refugee camps to interview potential refugees to be resettled in the U.S., those refugee officers who do that work, many of them have been reassigned to the U.S. And that means there's fewer people going to these far-off refugee camps to vet these stories. And that's part of the reason, we believe, for such a low number of refugees being admitted. It's a dramatic drop from what President Obama had said, 110,000. And this comes as the need is greater than it has been since World War II. There's more displaced people around the world than there have been in 75 years.
What about visas for people like Lizette who might follow on their husband like Andre and come to the United States after one member of the family is already here?
The Trump administration decided that the security procedures for a relative were too lax. It was actually slightly easier to get here as a refugee if you had a spouse here. So he suspended the following to join visa, as it's known, just as Lizette was applying here to join her husband in New Jersey.
Well, Matt, we all followed the temporary refugee ban. You said it lasted about 4 months, and we all followed the controversy around the travel ban or the so-called Muslim ban. But if the rationale from President Trump and the administration was to make the country more secure from terrorism, which would be a rational thing to want to do, why has this extended to places like the Democratic Republic of Congo, where as far as I know, there isn't much of a discernible terrorist threat?
No, and that's the irony of all of this. I mean, this is a policy intended to keep out terrorists from Muslim-majority countries. That's what we believe in terms of all the rhetoric we've heard from the president. And yet, we have more Congolese refugees than Syrian and Iraqi refugees. So it affects people who are from countries that have nothing to do with the politics of international terrorism, and yet they've been disproportionately affected by these policies. I should also note, by the way, that since the 1980 Refugee Act, there have been zero fatal terrorist attacks committed by refugees on American soil. Zero. The last time a refugee committed a terrorist attack in the U.S. was in the 70s. They were Cuban refugees. So this is not, on paper, it seems, a security problem. There doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence that refugees or terrorists are using the refugee system to get into the country like Trojan horses, which is exactly what the president has alleged.
Matt, you flew to Malawi and you visited the Zuleika refugee camp where Andre came from, where Lizette still lives. And talk to a lot of people about the waiting, about the limbo. Here's Elaine Tanta, one of the people you spoke to.
I've been living in limbo for many years now, and I've learned a lot about life. I wanted to send a message, maybe for people going to hear this in the United States, that like not all of us who are very bad. We are not all dangerous. Some people still love United States and still have positive mind to develop the United States.
Matt, Elaine has the idea, it seems, that Americans have been given the impression that he and his fellow persecuted travelers there are a danger to the United States.
Yeah, he understands that that is the reason why he can't get to the U.S. And he was supposed to leave. Him and his 18 relatives were on their way, almost on their way to Minnesota, where he has a brother. They had their travel documents, were ready to go, had been vetted over the course of many years. And then in July, the administration's ban on most refugees went through. So Elaine was not able to get on that plane. And now that the ban has been lifted with new security requirements, that just means Elaine has to apply again. It must be a very jarring emotional experience to think that you're going to be in Minnesota with your loved ones and have a whole new world of opportunity, and yet still find yourself waking up at Zuleika refugee camp in the morning.
You were talking to people at Zuleika left in limbo in that refugee camp. I imagine that they follow the news of refugee policy from this country pretty closely.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in years past, about 1,000 of the 33,000 people who live at Zuleika refugee camp have ended up resettling in the U.S. That number for the past year during the Trump administration is only about 300 or 400. So you really have a less than a 1% chance of getting out of this camp and going to the U.S. But the possibility of that really gives people a reason to get up in the morning and to just try and hope and pray and apply to be a refugee here in America.
Matt Katz reporting on America's refugee system from here in the United States and from a refugee camp in Malawi. Matt Katz with WNYC. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
You can listen to all of the reporting from Matt Katz's Unsettled series. It's at WNYC.org.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, offering storage solutions for business, including file folders, banker's boxes, and storage bins for getting organized. More at Staples stores or staples.com. Staples, it's pro time. And Babbel, a language app that teaches real-life conversations in a new language like Spanish, French, and German. Babbel's 10 to 15-minute lessons are available in the App Store or online at Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.